you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
Joshua chapter 3, okay, we're going to continue and actually going to kind of stand on what we talked about last week, but we've been in this series for some time. We always have some new people, so we're looking at these early chapters of Joshua where Israel was coming into the promised land, and it's such a great, so much there is such a great analogy for us of us moving into receiving the promises of God. And in the same way that their promised land had been promised 400 years prior, more than 400 years prior at this point, but now they're going in, they're taking possession of it. So we're looking through these verses and we're looking for our role and how this applies to us as New Testament believers. I think I said this to you last week or one of these last weeks. I just keep, lately I've been hearing this coming up that, well, we don't need the Old Testament. I'm not quite sure why anyone would say that, but it seems to be a thing. And so it's just important to realize, yeah, we absolutely, it's all the Word of God, okay? But it is important for us as New Testament believers to read the Old Testament through a New Testament lens. We do live in a different time. We live the other side of the cross. There are a lot of what goes on in the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't come. Sin, there was no provision of grace between sin and judgment yet because Messiah hadn't come. And so, the animal sacrifice and all of that that went on, a lot of things that went on, we need to view all of that from our New Testament perspective. So I want to begin, and I just want to, we always have some new folks with us here or online. I just want to bring us up on these two verses again. This is where we've been the last couple of weeks, Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. It says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And keep this in mind, because it's going to be important again later. That word consecrate means to set yourself or set something, in this case, set yourself apart from profane influences and ordinary use, and dedicate yourself to God's influence and God's purposes. Okay, I just need to say that one more time. This is what the word holy means. This is what the word consecrate means in the Bible. Set apart from profane influences and ordinary, like everyday, use, and dedicated to God's influence and God's purposes. And we saw out of that verse that living a consecrated life to God, it positions us to experience these wonderful works that God does, these amazing works that God does. We're in the right place at the right time. We're with the right people. We're where God is moving when we live a consecrated life. Okay, so that was verse 5. And then in verse 6, verse 6 picks up the next morning after verse 5 was spoken. Okay, so after Joshua said, consecrate yourself because God's going to do big things for you tomorrow, the next morning, it says, and I'm reading this to you from the New Living Translation. It says, in the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. All right, we dove into this last week, so I'm just going to give you the short version here. The people Joshua is speaking to are the priests. Okay, these people were anointed, sanctified, consecrated to carry the Ark of the Covenant. All right, and so that's who he's talking to. We looked last week at the verses in Peter and other places that talk about the fact that we, in the New Testament, we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, people that specifically belong to God. We are his dedicated nation or people or family. It says over in Romans, we are children of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We looked at a lot of verses concerning that last week, but this is who his audience is. So when he's speaking to us, and that's how we're reading this, as he speaks to us, he's telling us as New Testament priests, remember that word priest isn't the guy up front in the black robe. The word priest means a bridge builder. That's what it means. It's a person who connects, sounds like Val does that, connects God with people, heaven with earth. That's a priest. That's our assignment. Okay? So as priests, these scriptures are telling us in the morning, right, pick up the Ark of the Covenant and go in front of people, in this case, into the Jordan River. That was the barrier between the people and experiencing what God had promised. That was the barrier, a river at flood stage. It was a natural barrier. We often go into impossible situations, praying for someone's healing when the doctors have no hope. We go into impossible, you know, in the natural. We all know nothing's impossible with God. That's what the scripture tells us, right? But we go into these situations. This is our role as priests. We pick up the ark, which represents, remember we talked about what's in the ark, and I'm not going to go back over all of that. But what we're picking up is the word of God, revelation from God. This is provision for us, equipment for us. It's the word of God. It's the authority of God. And it was the place where the power of God, the presence of God, rested. So it's saying in the morning, before we go out into our day, and in that day, we are a people on assignment. We're not just here waiting for Jesus to come back and praying it's today because everything's so bad. That's not who the church is. We are people on assignment to carry the gospel into the whole world. We are people on assignment to connect heaven with earth, to bring the promises of God, not only into our lives and the lives of believers around us, but into our families, into our communities, into our nation. We have an assignment, okay? Is everybody, you with me? So we're being told, pick up that covenant and carry his presence, his word, his power, his authority out into life. And in this verse, it just happens to have that context of do this in the morning before you try to cross the river, okay? You're there to lead people across. You're there to bring them through that barrier. But before you step out into your day, pick up your covenant, pick up the presence of God, pick up the word of God, pick up what he has equipped you with to go into your day and be effective for the Lord. Does that make sense to you? Okay? We never want to go into our assignment, and we should always think we're on assignment. We never want to go into our assignment without the equipment that God has given us. That's why he's given it to us. It's why he's given us the armor of God. It's why he's given us the sword of the word of God. It's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. It's why he's given us these things, not just to for something to do, okay? Jesus, he commissioned his disciples, right, to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And then he told them, but wait, don't go until the Holy Spirit is poured out, right? He said, wait here in Jerusalem. Wait for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be empowered to be my witnesses. Don't go without the equipment, is what he was telling us. And it's a good word for us to always remember that. We don't want to go without the equipment God has given us. So we need, in our daily life, early in our day, and I just got to clarify a couple things I said last week because there were some questions. Early in our day, that's not necessarily the morning. If you work at night, like Zach does, okay, I don't know what time he gets up or goes to work. But anyway, maybe early in your day is 6 p.m. I don't know, but it's still the start. This is the point. It's the first part of your day. Whatever time that is, the first part of your day, we're going to go before the Lord, and we're going to pick up the things that he has given us. We looked at this verse and these verses in Psalms last week, and I'm just going to read them again. This is the psalmist saying, "Oh God, you are my God." That's a good word right there. God, you are my God. "Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you." So it says there, "Early will I seek you." That word "early," we looked at this from the Hebrew. It means early, but the context of it is earnestly and passionately. The idea is, and this is what I really want to stand on today. I said this last week, but seeking God early is not a matter of requirement. It isn't that this is a requirement. You better seek me early. That's not the point of it. Seeking God early is just the natural activity, response of a hungry heart. If you get up in the morning and you are hungry, I'll bet you it isn't very long before you go and eat. Eat something. Okay, why? Because I'm hungry. And that's kind of the point here. A lot of times we kind of get things inside out. If you're having difficulty seeking God early, what you need to address probably is hunger, spiritual hunger, developing spiritual hunger, which we can do. Okay, we don't want to just make it a requirement, make it an obligation, make it a burden in our lives. I got to spend this time in the Bible. I got to pray this morning. That isn't what the Lord's looking for. We read last week out of the Passion Translation in Psalm 92. I don't remember the exact verses. And it said, "It is so pleasurable to spend time in your presence." That's what the Lord's looking for. He's not trying to lay burdens on us. In fact, we have to be careful not to allow this early morning devotional time to become a burden in our lives. It's all about the way we approach it. This early morning connection time, it's not an obligation. It's an opportunity to set our whole day on the right course. You know, we're teaching on the tithe. I mean, all of you guys that come here for any length of time, you've heard our teaching on the principle of first fruits from the scripture. Romans chapter 11, verse 16 tells us that if the first fruits is holy, the first part of anything, whether that's our time, our money, beginning a business, whatever it might be, our day, if the first part is holy, then the whole lump is holy. And that's the tithe is just the financial application of that principle. Okay, so in other words, if I set apart the first part, it's what we're doing this morning. It's why the church meets on the first day of the week, not the last day of the week. Okay, because Jesus was raised on the first day of the week as the first fruits from among the dead. And we celebrate that. We come and we're presenting the first hours pretty close, right, of our day. For some of you, it's the very first hour. Can tell. It's visible. But we're presenting that first part to the Lord. And we should be extending faith toward him that, you know what, this isn't our motivation. It's just a blessing. My whole week is going to be blessed because I spent this time with you. And there again, you can't make that a, "God, I spent this time with you. My week had better be." You know, you just have to settle down and recognize it's not the reason that we do it. The reason that we do it is him. It's to honor him. But it's the promise. give the first part, the whole thing will be blessed, right? So it's not an obligation. In fact, that verse, I was thinking about this morning, Romans 11, 16, says if the first fruit is holy, so let's plug in what we just learned. If the first fruit, the first part of anything, is withdrawn from profane or ordinary use and dedicated to God's use, then the whole thing is holy. So as we spend these connection times with the Lord in the morning, it's an opportunity to direct our hearts, to direct our minds, to direct our day, to get the instruction we need to pick up our covenant, to pick up the presence of God, the Word of God. Does this make sense to you? Okay, it's an opportunity. Okay, so what I want us to do today is just look at some verses, and let me give you this one. This just, I missed this. We looked at this last week, but again, if we have trouble seeking Him early, if we have trouble with that for whatever reason, you can stir up your spiritual hunger, okay, by, the scripture says, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. So 1 Peter, I don't have it up on your screen, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, you can just write it down. He says, like newborn babies crave, okay, here's the craving, pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Okay, crave because you've tasted. So we can on purpose spend time with God, remember His goodness, recount our blessings, dig into His Word. We can do all of those things, and even because sometimes we come and we don't feel spiritual hunger. We're not very excited about God. It happens, okay? But we can do something about that. We can begin again to taste, and you'll find that spiritual hunger grows on the inside of you the more time that you spend with the Lord. It's just the way it works. So I just want to talk about this stirring ourselves up, this stirring up that hunger on the inside of us and seeking Him early. So we're just going to go through a few verses here. We're going to begin here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is verses 6 and 7. This is interesting. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, this is Paul, of course, writing to Timothy. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I remind you, Timothy, you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the laying on of my hands. So God gifted Timothy to go and to, he was a pastor and at the church in Ephesus. That had to be no fun. So he was a pastor and he was a young guy and God gifted him. Paul laid hands on him. God put the gift in him to pastor this big church in Ephesus. But it was up to Timothy to keep that gift stirred up. It wasn't just about, okay, God called me, God gave me an assignment, He's put a gift on the inside of me now. He needs to keep it stirred up. Now he's telling Timothy, you stir up the gift of God. And he goes on then, he says, for or because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. It's really interesting that verse that we love for its own sake was put in right after this call for Timothy to stir himself up. Timothy faced opposition in Ephesus. It was a completely idolatrous place. And the Christians there faced tremendous persecution and resistance. And so Paul says, you got to stay stirred up in this gift. You've got to keep this gift stirred up so that you can flow in it in power. You got to keep it stirred up. And one of the things, Timothy, you're going to have to watch out for is fear. And this is in particular the fear of man. This is, and he says, a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's the fear of man. It's intimidation about talking to people about Jesus, about being open, living, as Boyd was just talking to us about, just living outwardly who we are in Christ. Okay? And a lot of us in this day and age, we struggle with that. We don't like rejection. Nobody likes rejection. But it is part of the deal. Jesus said, some people are going to receive you, some aren't. Some are going to reject you like they rejected me. We're going to have, those are the sufferings. It's not sickness and disease. It's not the things Jesus paid for us to be free from. But that opposition that comes from being a Christian on planet Earth, the devil doesn't really like that. The problem is, or the good thing is, the devil loses, okay? So whatever he likes, he can take and go like it. But it's interesting that he brings up fear, intimidation regarding your faith. If you allow that to come in, it'll quench your equipment for your assignment. It'll pull you down. When it says here, stir up the gift of God that's in you, that word stir up literally means to rekindle a fire. The Amplified there, I think, says fan into flame. Okay, so you can just take that picture. It's got to have breath, right? Fire's got to have that oxygen coming to it. It's got to have breath. A lot of times when we come out in the morning in the winter and our wood stove's down and there's coals in there and we put a little wood in there and we blow on it, right? Breath. We need the breath of God every day. We need that manna every day. And they had to go get the manna. God provided it, but they did have to go pick it up. Is this making sense? Okay. So again, this is an opportunity to be stirred up. It says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That actually means a disciplined mind. And again, I think the Amplified brings that out, a sound and disciplined mind. It means I've chosen something. Here's one of the things about this. There's a difference, just thinking in the whole context of seeking God early, there's a difference between a discipline in my life and an obligation in my life. Discipline means I'm doing it whether I feel like it or not because it's good, okay? So I'm going to do it. And I discipline my flesh that way. I choose to do it, okay? Obligation means I feel like I have to do it to stay in God's good graces, or I feel like I have to do it to impress somebody else. I feel like I have to do it. There's a difference between a discipline and an obligation. We need to have disciplines in our lives, but we don't want to carry obligations and burdens that Jesus has not put on us. Okay? So this is not a matter of requirement. It's an expression of hunger. Okay? But Timothy was responsible to stir up that gift. You all know the verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word wait there, wait on the Lord, doesn't mean I'm waiting for the Lord to do it. It actually means to bind together by twisting. That's the literal definition of that word. To bind together, it came to be used for braiding rope, okay? So we are wrapping ourselves around the Lord and getting him wrapped around us, okay? We are connecting with the Lord, and he's infusing strength into us. Our strength gets renewed, okay? That word came to mean a connection with God that produces hope. It means to order your activities around something. So we're ordering our activities around connection with the Lord. We are wrapping ourselves up with him, and in that place, our strength is getting renewed. This is an opportunity, not an obligation. Does this make sense to you? You want to look at another one, or are you done? Okay, all right, just checking. Wouldn't have mattered. But, all right, so Jude chapter 20, or it's Jude chapter, there's only one chapter. It's Jude, verse 20 and 21. says, but beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. All right. So he says here, building yourselves up in your faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. All right. Praying in the Holy Spirit refers to praying in other tongues, allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Okay. If you have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but you've not kind of worked out how to pray from the Holy Spirit, we can help you with that. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we can help you with that. But this verse tells us, this word building yourselves up, it means to charge up like a battery. So sometimes when we're feeling drained, we're feeling down, we're feeling discharged, we can just begin to pray in the Spirit. Just let the Holy Spirit begin to worship through you, begin to pray through you. Just let that prayer language come out. You can. I love to pray in the Spirit and then pray in my understanding, sing in the Spirit, sing in my understanding. It's just, and you will find you'll get charged up. I can't tell you why. I can just tell you that it works, okay? The Bible says it, and it works. Go figure. Okay, so, and then he says, so build yourselves up, charge yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That doesn't mean try to make God love you more. Or I'm gonna try to do my best so I'll be more lovable to God. Jesus took care of that part. Okay, it means literally guard yourself by keeping your eyes fixed on the love of God. Okay, so I'm going to build myself up praying in the Spirit, but also I'm going to remember God loves me, and it's not because I'm so great, it's because of what Jesus did. That's something I want to pick up every morning. I want to pick that up and carry that into the world. I want to pick up knowing who I am because of what Jesus did. I want to begin my day remembering, it says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's something I want to remember every morning. The mercies of God are new every morning. So that means the mercies of God are new for me today and tomorrow, today, the next day, today. The mercies of God are new. I want to pick that up before I go out into the world, because the world will suck that out of you, right? Anybody have that experience? I've had that experience, okay? Let's look at another one, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Very familiar verses to us, but I want us to think of this in the context of strengthening ourselves in the Lord, of picking up our covenant. This is a part of it. Okay, it says, and let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. So there's another responsibility for us. We're supposed to be watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, that word means stimulate and incite, to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Okay, this is talking about being in community. Part of the reason I'm in community is for what community pours into me. But a lot of the reason I'm in community is for what I pour into community, for what I pour into those people around me. This is what the church is about. And the interesting thing is, as we pour out to one another, we get built up. It's another one of those backwards deals, okay? We pour out, we watch over one another. I want you to be doing well in your spiritual walk. That's not just for me as a pastor, it's for every one of you, for the people that God connects you with. That's what being in church, being community means. So he says, let's just give attentive, continuous care, watching over one another. And then it says, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people. Okay? We see it all the time. There are a lot of people that just, I believe they just haven't connected with the value of being in community, in church, of being a part of the church. They just haven't recognized it in their life for whatever reason. So they're forsaking the assembling of themselves together. And it says, instead, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. So I just want to say this about this today. Being in community, being part of the church, is not just about coming to church, even if you do it regularly. It isn't even just about coming to church every Sunday and warming a seat. There is sacrifice to being in community. That's just the way it is. There's sacrifice to giving your life away to other people, to connecting with people, many times that you don't necessarily like that much, but the love of Christ for them is it. I'm just being honest with you. You guys just keep looking all innocent like you don't know what I'm talking about. Everything's cool. I don't mind. But, you know, God connects us with one another. And if we allow it, there will be a care that goes beyond our own natural care for one another. And that's part of being in community. So yeah, it's about being here, but it's about serving. It's about giving to one another. There's a sacrifice. You got to have skin in the game. Otherwise, you're really just warming a seat, and we're glad you're warming the seat. But Jesus says more than that. And this is part of how we get stirred up and kept stirred up. This is part of how we pick up our covenant. And you know, over in Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us he assigned apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that they would equip us to go out and do the work of the ministry. So there's that picking up that equipment. And I hope that's what's happening for you this morning, okay? This whole idea of biblical community, it's real countercultural for us because in our culture, the whole bent for the last 10, 20 years is, I've got this. I can do it on my own. I don't need you. I don't need a husband. I don't need a wife. I don't need a boss. Everybody's an entrepreneur. I don't need anything. I don't need anybody with any authority in my life. Let's defund the police. Good idea. That's worked out really well so far, hasn't it? Anyway, sorry. But you know what I'm saying? Well, the church is the opposite of that. We need the Lord, for sure, but we need each other. We need that place to pour out. The gifts that God has put in us need to be stirred up and pour out. Okay, I have 3 minutes. Let me just put this up for you. Some of you can take a picture of it if you like. This is just things that I want to pick up in the morning and carry with me throughout my day and carry into that flood stage river so that somebody can go across. Okay. Number one is remembering that we're cleansed and empowered by the blood of Jesus. Okay. I want to remember what Jesus has done for me, reject shame, take hold of my identity in Christ. It's all because of him. It's not because I'm so special. Okay. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. I'm not going to read them this morning. I just don't have time, but you can write it down. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 22 says we've been reconciled by Christ's physical body through death, and he's presented us holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. We need to pick that up every single day. Secondly, we need to expect a fresh word from God. It's not always our connection time with God. It's not always, you know, heaven's open and angels go back and forth. It's not always that, but there's something. It's a meal, okay? It's a meal. It's not always Christmas dinner, but it's a meal. It's something that we get fed, okay, as we consistently go before him in the morning. So I'm expecting spiritual food in the morning. And you can look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where Jesus told us, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that continually flows from the mouth of God. All right, we got, I think, just two more. Remember your covenant and your high calling. And that remembers, that means I need to remember when I go out into my day, when you go into your day, we're on assignment for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay? We belong to him. Remember who you are and whose you are. We have some good friends that told their kids every time they went out, as they were getting to be teenagers, they'd tell them every time they went out, remember who you are and whose you are. Okay? So here's some verses. Again, just write them down. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. It's actually more. Read that whole area. Isaiah 54, verses 9 and 10, talks to us about how he has brought us into a covenant of peace between God and man. That's our covenant. Okay. And finally, be refreshed in the expectation that natural impossibilities have to bow to the power of God's word and prayer and declaration and standing. Okay, standing on what we're praying. So verses for that, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. Matthew 19, 26, Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Okay. As I was studying all of this week, I felt like the Lord spoke this to me, so I believe this is a word for somebody, and we'll just wrap it up with this, that for some of you, this preparation that we're talking about is the key to seeing God not only transform your work life, but your workplace. Okay, this preparation to going out doesn't mean it's all going to be about you and what you know to pray or do or confess or whatever. But somehow in that, I just feel certain for somebody, you're needing your work life filled with hope and strength, but your workplace can change just as you spend time connecting with the Lord before you go out there. Okay, so if that's for you, just receive it. Did you get anything out of this? Yes. Let's stand up and pray this morning. We will close it out. Father, again, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have given us practical application of your word, and that Jesus made it so clear as we both hear and apply the word of God, our life changes. It's still not perfect. We're on planet Earth, but man, it changes. And Lord, you have assigned us to be a light in this community. You have assigned us to be a city on a hill, and you're the one that lights the lamps within us. But Father, this morning, I just pray for everybody that hears this, that as they begin to give themselves to that connection time early in their day, Lord, that it is filled with life, that it is filled with you. It is filled with your presence. It becomes so evident, Lord, that you are equipping them to go out and to lead people, Lord, into the blessing of God as well as experience it themselves. We thank you for that this morning. And Lord, we choose, we accept the assignment to go out here into our world and be the church of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll be dismissed. If you want prayer for anything or you have questions, come on up after. We're going to say it on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. We'll be dismissed. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.